Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, I'm Alan Cumming, and welcome to My Shelves. My shelves are sort of a museum of my life. I like to keep things from my travels that are, to me anyway, the very essence of the experiences I've had. Sort of portals, if you will, to a specific time and place. And the inspiration for stories and memories and musings. Here is a bottle opener, one of those sort of flat ones, and barmen keep them in their back pocket. And once when I was in a bar, I think in New Orleans, and when I get drunk, I sometimes ask to go behind the bar and help out. I love being a barman. And this guy, one of the bar staff, gave me my own special bottle opener as a sort of thank you present. Such an honour to be given. It's like being given a tool of the trade, and it means that I'm a proper craftsman. Not really, though. Here's a copy of Bonaventure, which is one of the first plays I ever did at high school, and my friend Susie recently found it and gave me a copy of it. And this week, my guest is the painter Christian Hook, and the object from my shelves is not actually technically from my shelves, it's from my wall. It's a painting of me, one of the many paintings of me that Christian has painted.
But really, at the end of the day, you know, there is Alan for you, and there's Alan for everyone else, and I want to paint the Alan for you.
Welcome, bienvenue. So I've got the painting right here. It's interesting because it's an oil painting, but it's a monochrome oil painting. It's just he only used white and black, and it's one of several sort of test sketches, oil sketches that Christian did of me for a bigger portrait. Now I really love this picture because it's me, obviously, but I love when I look at pictures of myself or images of myself, and I can kind of appreciate them without actually thinking, oh, that's me, oh dear, I look a bit jowly, or you know what I mean, or I was a bit bleary that day. This one, I actually completely can do that because it's sort of an impression of me, a very impressionistic, and I look kind of, I look sad. I look a little sad in this picture. And I was actually at the time that he painted it. The reason that I have this picture, the reason that I know Christian, the reason that we came into each other's lives is that Christian Hook won the Sky Arts Portrait Artist of the Year Award in 2014. Now, this is a competition they have on television every year, and it's sort of it's like a reality show, I guess, for painters. I mean, they have a reality show for everything now. I used to think that, you know, in America, reality shows were just taking over, and eventually everyone in America would have been in a reality show and we could all just stop and get on with it. Every reality show is basically the same. It's all just Survivor. You've got Survivor for drag queens now. You've got Survivor for cake-making people. You've got Survivor for models. It's just all the same thing. And I guess this is Survivor for portrait artists. So Christian won. And the prize, the grand prize for winning that year was to have a painting of yours hang in the permanent collection of the Scottish National Portrait Gallery. And the Scottish National Portrait Gallery asked me to be the person that Christian would do the painting of. So I met Christian in New York in my dressing room at Studio 54 where I was performing on Broadway when he came with a film crew to start the process of painting me. But more of that later. Christian is from Gibraltar. For those of you who don't know, Gibraltar is at the very, very bottom of Spain. It looks across to Africa. It's like the closest part of Spain to Africa. But it's actually a British overseas territory. Yes, yes, the empire still lives. It's dominated by, it's got this rock, the Rock of Gibraltar. You know the rock that's mentioned in all these songs and things. It's this little tiny little territory with this huge rock where Christian Hook was born and indeed still lives. There's also wild monkeys there, but that's another story. Christian, I have the picture right here. I took it off the wall, off my shelf. It's one of the ones that we did. I mean, I say we did because I actually did paint some. I saw it last week in Scotland.
The one where we splash paint all over the place, where you were dancing.
That's
La
it. Wally.
Right, okay. Now I get it.
That's it. La Wally was on. So, so that's the one I've got here and I'm looking at. And it's all... So basically, did you only use black and white?
I only used black and white, yeah. During that series, that program, I only had 20 minutes to paint. So, I mean, doing a portrait with someone moving in 20 minutes, I mean, if I had to include color, I'd go crazy. But I would remember it clearly because it was one of these distinct moments, you know, where you do something quite challenging. It was challenging.
So did we do the bits in my dressing room first and then we went down to the stage?
Yes, we had quite a few gin and tonics, I remember.
I would be a vodka, I have to say. Just to clarify that for my fans. But yes, we had a few drinks. But I'm just really curious about that we met each other that day. You kind of came over to do this with this TV show. You didn't really know anything about me. I'm just curious about what the leap from, like, I did not expect to be dancing around to La Wally. And you flinging paint at a canvas. How did you get there? How did you think that would be a good idea? He'd be game.
All right. So basically, you know, like I always try and do something new in each. It's what I do. No, it's like creativity is at the basis of everything, and everything has to have something, a new idea or a new concept.
Yeah.
And I had 20 minutes, and I felt like I'm going to risk it to the last minute. But I'm going to do something that means something, even in the sketches, you know, in the old sketches. And I wasn't known yet to anything. And you were extremely open to talking about yourself and welcoming me. Like, I didn't feel nervous. I didn't feel, you know, it was really.
That was
really
the drink, probably.
A nice thing. Yeah. I remember you talking about some books that you've done or some movies that you've done. You also talked about your passion for being Scottish, from where you come from. And I remember talking about honey and about lots of things. And so I remember telling you, like, right, put your favorite song on and let's try and do something with a kilt, you know. And you did a book on a photography book on sexuality and all that stuff. And I thought, let's try and do everything in one go. Yeah. And and that came out. Yeah, it was quite an interesting thing. Yeah,
it did. So the book Christian's talking about is called Self-Exposure, The Male Nude Self-Portrait. It's a book of male nudes, self-portraits, by, interestingly, photographers. So these are men who are used to taking pictures of people, used to taking pictures of people naked. I have actually been naked for one of the people in it. But yet now the camera's being turned on them. And what I thought was interesting about this was how they chose to show us their nakedness. Because they are people who, you know, show us other people's nakedness all the time. And it's very interesting. Some of them are very tender and intimate and vulnerable. Some of them are just like, check out my junk. And so they asked me to write the foreword for this book. And so I agreed. And if I was going to write the foreword, I would also have to supply a naked self-portrait. So, dilemma. Do I want my penis to be, you know, all over the internet? So what I thought I would do was sort of, I wrote an essay about how I want to be vulnerable and I want to show everything. But of course, when you're famous, that becomes something else. It becomes sensationalized and becomes just like, it becomes very sort of prurient and people just want to see your penis. So I gave them a picture that's actually much more intimate and vulnerable than many of the pictures in the book. Yeah, I show very little. It's a picture of me. It's half of my face and my shoulder. And behind me, you see someone's, a man's chest. What it is me, getting penetrated by my boyfriend of a long time ago. And I took it, I think, in about 2000. And I had it in my files and I gave it to them as the portrait to use. So it is a male nude self-portrait, but it's a very, you know, coy in some ways and very, very intimate in others. And that's what Christian saw. And that's why I think he realized I would probably be quite game. So Christian and I had met for a little bit and we were in my dressing room at Studio 54. And then it was after the matinee, the Sunday matinee, and we were to go down to the stage. He had an easel up on the stage and we were going to, you know, film something for the show. And he decided to ask me to dance. He'd seen me dancing in my dressing room. They put La Wally, the music, over the speakers, and I danced to it. I love it. I'd had a few drinks. And Christian painted to it. And at certain times, he like flicked the paint onto the canvas at the same time as I made gestures. We got very kind of in tune with each other. And it was a really incredible thing to just sort of dance around and have someone be flinging paint around. I was covered in paint, I have to say, and so is he. And at the end of it, at the end of this little sequence, he had done another of these sketches. What I think is really fascinating is that in that chat, you know, in our initial chat, and we did go deep very fast. I mean, I sort of thought, oh, I'm going to be painted. That'll be nice. Some of the times I've been painted before, you just sort of sit there and kind of you chat a wee bit, but it's very calm and it's sort of quite almost like therapy where you don't have to talk all the time. But, you know, when you do talk, you kind of say a little bit with the painter, and then there's long periods of... I've actually done one where I've had to sit still for 3 hours. Did not like that at all. But it was, we went deep very fast in terms of what we're talking about. And like this test, you know, oil sketch, it's, I really love it because it's me, but I look a little bit sort of, I look sad. There's a sadness to it, which you've captured. And, you know, as you said, we talked about two things that are actually reflected in the final portrait, the one that's in Edinburgh, which was the death of my dog Honey, and the fact that the Scottish independence referendum had not gone the way
exactly I'd I remember wanted. you were quite upset about it when you were talking to me about it, and and also you're a musical person, you've done lots of musicals in theatre, you know, you've done lots of films, you've done lots of everything, and therefore you're used to the stage, and I thought, like, you know, I want to do something like very authentic in each of them, and you know, you chose a song, La Wally. It was your choice, and then, you know, dancing, you know, naked using the kilt on your neck, and then also the idea of the paint dancing with you in the air. You know that we did. There's part of your dance and of your interpretation of the song in the work. You know, it's encapsulated there somehow, and that I thought would be. It's an interesting way of looking at someone instead of just, you know, sitting them in front and just drawing what you see. I mean,
so is that something that you do with each different person you paint? You kind of like try and kind of get into their psyche and see how they're feeling at the time?
Definitely so. But I think it's more what the person wants to give me. You know, like some people are not as open. I mean, you just went for it, and there was that which. It's great, really, but you know, some people are more reserved and take a bit longer to maybe, you know, open up or say. But really, at the end of the day, you know, there is Alan for you, and then there's Alan for everyone else, and I want to paint the Alan for you. That's what I'm trying to always achieve with everyone. You know, it's something that satisfies you know, who you really are, or some of it. You know. And how I see you, you know, as well, from the information that you get there. So that's what's interesting for me about it.
I think it's so interesting that Christian picked that up, because I often think of myself as Alan Cumming and then Alan Cumming. And what I mean by that is that I go on TV on a talk show and I'm playing a version of myself. I'm playing the character Alan Cumming, but there's Alan Cumming in real life too. So I met Christian at the end of September in 2014, and then off he went and started to paint the big portrait. And we next met on Monday, December the 15th, for the unveiling of the portrait. This was his prize for winning the Sky Arts Portrait Artist of the Year Award, a piece that would be in the permanent collection of the Scottish National Portrait Gallery. And it was a very, very scary night. And it is really fascinating, as I say, as a model, or as someone being painted, just like the experience of connecting with you as another artist in that whole sort of the whole journey of meeting you, having that crazy sort of being filmed as well, being yeah. you know, observed whilst we're doing this, and then having that kind of we've got to go downstairs and do something on the stage, and we did that yeah. crazy thing, and then then cut to a couple of months later, we end up in Edinburgh in December again with cameras everywhere. And it's now the unveiling in the Scottish National Portrait Gallery. Now, I don't know about you, but I found that terrifying because, first of all, you know, seeing a picture of yourself for the first time with a lot of people looking at you, it's a very weird experience. But I mean, and also it was in, I should explain to people that it was in the grand sort of lobby, the grand hall of the Scottish National Portrait Gallery, where there's like, you know, statue of Robert Burns and Sir Walter Scott and all these great explorers. And
the Queen was amazing. There, remember?
And the Queen was taken down for my picture to go yeah. up instead. Insert your Queen jokes here, people. But but how yeah. was it for you? It must have been fucking terrifying.
I tell you what it was. After that, I did other pieces went into other national galleries in the UK. Like, you know, I had one in Liverpool, then another one in Manchester, then another one in the Royal Collection and this and the other. But that one, not only was it my first one, but it's probably the one where I the risk-taking was, you know, in every way, even for you. I mean, I was waiting for you to see it, and I really went for it in every possible way. You know, you appear,
yeah.
you know, completely naked with a kilt on your shoulder looking up, you know, and yes. it was nerve-wracking for me in every, I thought, like, let's see what happens. Every now and then you get an image that you can't forget because it's so, you know, so different in a way. And I wanted that yeah. to happen, you know, and I think that to a certain degree, you know, thanks to you, we were able to do it, you know, and I'm very proud of it. I think it's it's my favorite. It is the greatest thing that I've done, I think, because of many reasons, like where it is, you know, and yeah. it's also it's a big piece, and it's one of these images. It actually got into the National Gallery's Rota History of Art book. Called 100 Masterpieces, and there they
I saw that,
from the
yes.
100 yeah from the 100,000 works that they have, they chose the top 100 that they think is a masterpiece, and they included that one in it.
The image of me with the kilt around my neck.
Yeah, yeah.
I did that on the stage in New York of Studio 54.
Yes.
And did you then
yeah.
take a picture of that?
Yeah, I did.
Did you take a photo of that and then based it?
Yeah, I took video of that. I videoed you like with the...
Video.
With the, yeah. You know, the belt of the actual kilt is in your neck. And then it gives that, you know,
yeah.
that connotation or that, you know. It's open to interpretation, but... Yeah, but it's open to interpretation. But I liked using everything in the wrong way, I guess. And, you know, that's... where identity and creativity comes from, I guess, you know, like trying stuff like that. But I was very happy, and I'm happy that you were happy with it when I unveiled it.
Well, you know, I love that. I love yeah. that picture. It is the greatest honor of my life that picture's there, because I really love the picture. It's kind of represents everything I stand for in many ways. And also
Thank
just
you.
To have it in the Scottish National Portrait Gallery. I mean, it's just... It's yeah. an incredible thing.
Yeah.
And I also, I think what I really love about it is that in the kind of tradition of, you know, messages being in paintings over the centuries in art, that's the thing that artists have done. And that you took the, when I saw that there was the little jar with, yeah. it said honey on it, and it said yeah. yes, yes, yes around the top. Yeah. And also that the kilt I'm wearing is the kilt of the, you know, the official tartan of the Yes Campaign for Independence.
Yeah.
What I thought was hilarious was like, so they pulled off the curtain. Everyone clapped, we all chatted, and I, you know, we both had to say something. And I remember saying, oh, it's so incredible, this, I love it so much, and it's so great that these two things that are really important to me are in it, my dog who died, and also this is the, this kilt I'm wearing is the official tartan for independence. And it was this kind of like clinking sound of the people who didn't vote for independence in Scotland, suddenly sphincters tightening around the room. I think that's the thing I find more and more as I get older as well, is that being open and being prepared to be vulnerable, you know, to be truly authentic in your work and in your interactions with everyone in your life, but really in your work as well, being prepared to be vulnerable it gives you such great results, you know what I mean?
And another thing that you did, which was incredible, the attention to everything. I mean, me not being known as an artist yet. When I did this with you, I was just, you know, I basically I still hadn't got into any museum or done anything major at the time. And,
yeah.
Giving people a chance, you know, like that you don't know. And that's a fantastic. Mm. I mean, I've done it again myself many times now, but like I always remember it. You know, you can just sit down and say, right, like paint me and that's it. But you did give me a chance to do my best, you know, for this. And that gave me a plethora
now look at you.
That came after that. Now look at me. Now it's all going good.
Tom Fordyce, I never would have met you if it hadn't been for We Didn't Start the Fire.
Katie Puckrew, I thought I didn't want to learn anymore. I was wrong.
And you know why we're learning so much?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
This is a really interesting story.
In 1949, 1950, the communist troops came to my province.
Because this is the best history podcast you've ever listened to in your entire life.
What?
They shot him live in front of the whole village.
My mouth is just hanging open. I can't believe this.
And yes, it's sort of based on Billy Joel's song, but it's a history podcast. It tells us all the reasons why the world today is as it is, but it's more.
I killed a cactus recently.
My connection to Marilyn.
Walter Winchell.
Don't you love Brando? If there was a movie with just Brando's face, I'd put it on in the background all day. I'd be perfectly happy.
Search for We Didn't Start the Fire.
We'll wait for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So how has your life changed then? I mean, what, like that picture was unveiled. You won the competition, sort of the end of the TV series was the picture being unveiled at the Scottish National Portrait Gallery, and then you were the winner, and that was the kind of the part of the prize. Then how quickly did it change?
It changed immediately. Like right after that, I did another series with Sue Johnston, and because of this TV series, some of the things that I did were aimed at justice, for Sue Johnston was fighting against the Hillsborough thing and all that stuff.
Yes.
And anyway, like I managed to, with a painting, pay for the lawyers, and then the lawyers won against the police, and they all ended in museums.
What Christian is referring to when he says Hillsborough is a really tragic thing that happened in 1989. It was a football match between Nottingham Forest and Liverpool, and it took place in Sheffield because that was a neutral ground. And what happened was 96 people were killed in this terrible tragedy when the fences in the football stands fell down and they got crushed, and it was just a horrible disaster. And it was actually handled so horribly in the press, and a mother who'd lost her son in this tragedy, Margaret Aspinall, started a thing called the Hillsborough Family Support Group, and she was part of a lawsuit against the police for misfeasance in public office over their conduct on the day of the tragedy, and also of an alleged conspiracy attempting to blame Liverpool fans for the actual deaths. So Christian used a painting of a Liverpool street to raise money for this cause. Two years ago, I think it was, I was on the Queen Mary 2 with my mum and Grant, my husband. We were on, and you get a little sort of newspaper pushed underneath your thing each day with all the kind of, talks and recitals and blah blah. And the art gallery, there's a type of art gallery on the boat where they sell things, and you were the featured artist on the thing. Yeah, yeah. And I went to a lecture about you.
That's so funny.
They mentioned the fact that you'd painted me as a sort of a part of this lecture. And I was like, yes.
And you were sitting there. Yeah.
Yes. And they sort of asked me if I would like to comment on how it was to have been painted by you. It was just so surreal in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
During that show, I remember painting another one, which I gave you as a gift, remember? And you invited me to the house to see it, like that long one.
Yes,
as well. So I love
and do you know what's great about that picture? I love it, and it was incredibly kind of you it's a beautiful, beautiful gift that I will always treasure. You know what's crazy about it is that it's in my house in New York, and only a couple of weeks ago I sort of went, oh my god, there's another nipple over there. I haven't seen it.
I found another nipple of myself. Yeah.
So it's like in slow motion. It's like a painting in slow motion almost.
Yeah, yeah.
But like
that's
I've
it.
Looked at it
that
a
was
lot
the idea.
Over the last few years. And suddenly I discovered a new nipple on myself. It was like finding a new part of my body.
Yeah.
And so what are you up to now, Christian? What's happening for you now in terms of your work? And
all the shows that I've done have been sold out up to now, like before we even opened up. The galleries opened another 50 galleries or something like that, and they all showcase my work. All the cruisers showcase my work. I've been in, I don't know, maybe 50 art books or more. I've done lots of stuff.
What was the thing about, we talked one time about you were going to, you had a friend who died and you were going to put two pieces of glass.
Yeah.
Tell us the idea.
Oh, so basically the idea was it would have someone from Gibraltar, you know, my grandmother, for example, was evacuated from Gibraltar, and there's still a couple of people that are alive since, and they couldn't find their partners around the world and all that stuff. So it was a really difficult time. And I would bring them back to life with their ashes. So I would take their ashes, and then in between two glasses, I would sandwich their portrait in black and white using the ashes. And basically, they kind of bring themselves back to life. That was the idea.
I think that sounds great. I really love that. When you told me, I thought such a lot about it since you mentioned it to me. And this idea of like the essence of someone living on and being able to make a piece of art.
I'll send you the idea. I'll send you the idea for you to have a look at. Yeah.
All right. I don't have to die, do I, to be in it?
No, you don't have to die to be in it. No.
All right, it was so lovely to talk to you.
You too, and thank you very much.
It's always lovely, and also just it's such a special and precious thing in my life to have those pictures that you've given me and to have had this great experience with you. It really, really is.
And thank you for the opportunity. Obviously, it did change a lot for me too. So, you know, it was fantastic. So thank you very much, Alan.
My pleasure. You're welcome. All right, darling. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
So, ladies and gentlemen, and those who don't define us either, it's now time for me to put this beautiful monochrome sketch oil painting of me back up on Alan Cumming's wall. And even though I look rather sad in this portrait, right now I feel really happy because every time I speak to Christian, I'm reminded of a really beautiful experience and of a really beautiful legacy in my life with that portrait. And just talking to him makes me feel happy and optimistic about life. I hope it was good for you too. See you next time. Alan Cumming Shelves is hosted by me, Alan Cumming, and produced by the lovely Jack Claremont. We are part of the Acast Creator Network and the Crowd Network too. We just love networks. Another Crowd Network podcast to check out is Death of a Film Star. These are the stories of Hollywood icons like Heath Ledger, Carrie Fisher, Robin Williams, and more. They're beautifully written episodes, all around 25 minutes long, and they pay tribute to some of the greatest actors that have ever been. The episode about Chadwick Boseman is brilliant. So check it out. Just search for Death of a Film Star in your podcast app.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.